Yo, 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 what is going on? And happy Selection Sunday, and welcome to the Straight Shooters Podcast. Happy St. Patrick's Day, happy end of Champ Week, and happy official March Madness Week One. Here we are. It's a beautiful day. It's kind of spring now. I'm happy about it. It's light out late, and I've watched about 90 to 100 hours of college basketball this past week. Just an absolute absurdity amount. And so have the other people here. We are joined by Mr. Fundamental Mike Erickson. We are joined by the mid-major guru Zach Reynolds. And last but not least, the generational hater, Mr. Matthew Stern. And I'm your host today, Tyler Kaplan. We are going to give a quick dive into all the chaos that happened in Champ Week. Analysts everywhere saying the craziest, craziest Champ Week they've ever seen. Coaches getting fired left and right, but winning their tournaments. Bid stealers. Everything you could ask for. Overtime, buzzer beaters, chaos, idiots, all of going to hit the idiot of the week. We are going to give. Talk about some snubs from the tournament. You've had a few. We're going to run through the entire bracket, East, West, South, Midwest, deep dive, give the final four picks, and send us off into our first four locks of the day. All right, storyline of the week. I said it already, bubble stealers, bubble stealers, bubble stealers. We were going in with a bubble of three Big East teams that were all going to make it. We were seeing Pitt versus Wake Forest play on Tuesday, I believe that was. Tuesday, Wednesday. And I don't know. It was just, they were supposed to play for who gets into the tournament, and little do we know, Pitt's the fourth team out right now. Oregon stole the Pac-12. Duquesne with the A-10, which was a ridiculous tournament. NC State, 5 days, 5 games, 5 days in the ACC, UAB, absolute chaos. NC State, I think, was the coolest run of the tournament. Reminded me a lot of the UConn run. Yeah, that was my storyline of the week, was NC State, just 5 games, 5 days, absolutely awesome. I'll pass it on to anyone else who wants to join in.
Yeah, I'll just add on to that. I was going to say the same thing with NC State. Basketball is like one of those sports that you can play a bunch of games in a short period of time, but I mean, you shouldn't because it's absolutely miserable. And for NC State to gut that win out against UNC, who's probably, I mean, yeah, I would say definitely a top four or five team in the country, but NC or UNC didn't play horribly either. And NC State had guys going down left and right and gutted that one out. Love
Yeah.
it. I hope that they're able to do something in the first round at least here.
Yeah, Mo Diarra is just a rebound machine. Shout out to him. Started Ramadan right before the ACC tournament. Couldn't eat, couldn't drink until these games started. Was cramping and just did his thing. They had more magic than anyone. That UVA game was crazy with that buzzer beater at the end. It was a magical week for NC State. DJ Burns, player of the year in, or sorry, player of the tournament in the ACC, and it was fun. It was really, really fun. What other big storylines do we have?
I think one storyline that is worth talking about, especially going into the tournament, will be how do teams that were playing really well in conference tournaments play as the tournament starts? And how do teams that were not playing all that well in conference tournaments and towards the end of the regular season do in the early stages of the tournament? I can tell you right now that a team like Virginia, who don't even get me started on why they got into the tournament behind one of the worst collapses I've ever seen in my entire life the other night against NC State, I think is a disaster pick in the tournament. I think they lose first round. But then I think you look at a team that has come in absolutely firing on all cylinders, like Iowa State, who, while they're a two seed, they are unbelievable. How are they going to do? And I think it's just worth watching as we move forward. Is there a correlation between really firing on all cylinders into your conference tournament at the end of regular season and how well you do once the tournament
Yeah,
starts?
I saw a stat that was if you lost in your first game in your conference tournament, no team that's lost in the first round of their first game in their conference tournament has gone on to win a national championship
There you
in the
go.
past 30 years. So Tennessee, I don't know. It's off. Zach, what was yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest storyline is the bracket we just saw. I think, you guys touched on a lot of points in the last week. I think one major thing that comes to mind is this kind of goes to show that the conference tournaments don't really matter that much. New Mexico was going to be on the outside looking in. FAU lost, Michigan State lost, and Virginia lost to NC State. And people started saying, oh, these teams should move more towards the bubble. Virginia's in the first four, sure, but they have horrible metrics compared to teams like Indiana State that got left out. FAU as an eight seed is ridiculous. Their resume lines up more with, last four and first four out than the other eight, nine seeds. And then New Mexico being an 11 seed shows that they lost that game yesterday, they were gone. So in favor of a team like Oklahoma who lost in the first round against TCU. So I think, everyone gets really excited about Champ Week and getting, piling on quad one wins. Providence had a big win. They weren't even in the last four in, or first four out. St. John's had a big win over Seton Hall. They were out. So I think that's one thing that's interesting. I think the committee needs to reevaluate the way they do this, because this reflects resumes of a week ago and not right now. And then also another thing the committee consistently fucks up is how they're placing mid-majors. You have two of the top mid-major teams, McNeese and Grand Canyon, playing against WCC teams. Drop Gonzaga from a five seed to a six seed, switch them with South Carolina, and let Gonzaga play Oregon and let South Carolina have to deal with Grand Canyon or McNeese. That way, they want to protect seemingly the big schools from taking those losses against 12 seeds. I think it's a little ridiculous. I think, it happens every year. The best mid-major team ends up playing a good WCC or Mountain West or A10 team. Dayton wasn't good enough to get there this year. But again, Dayton and Nevada, like in a 7-10, that's something that needs to, I think, change.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit. It seems like a complete money grab, and I'm just not here for it. And going back to your champ week point, isn't in football the whole committee's point is like if you win your conference championship game, you like it means more for the college football playoff.
Well, then
So,
Florida State would have been in.
right? But isn't that a thing? Like if you play well in your conference championship, you deserve it. And I guess we went away from that.
Yeah, Bama got in by beating
Basketball.
Georgia.
I
Yeah, I
mean,
don't know.
I think it's a combination of that, and as the committee showed this year and the Big 12 showed, is schedule as many quad four opponents as you possibly can, beat them all by 25 or 30 points, and you will get yourself a spot in the tournament.
You'll
Forget
get.
even.
Yeah.
That works if you're in a power conference. If you're Indiana State and you do that and bump up to 29 in the net, it doesn't matter.
Is
It's
that.
a very
That's
It's
what the
fine.
Big East needs to do. That's what St. John's, Seton Hall, and Providence need to do next year.
Providence had 11 Q4 wins and they were not near. They weren't even in the first four out.
But it's why Pitt with a shitty non-conference schedule falls out because they don't have enough good wins. But it's also why no one will play Indiana State because you're
Right.
never going to play Samford, you're never going to play McNeese, you're not going to play these middle of the road teams. Unless you like need to get your way into the tournament, but you don't know that before the season starts. So
Yeah,
it's a shit
go to a
show.
team like Creighton playing two Mountain West teams. You lost both games, but look, you're still a three seed. Like, it's I don't know. I think those teams get
I
hosed.
mean, Mike said it best to me a few weeks back. I think this was conference tournament time even. He goes, "Why are we having John Brown play Baylor? Put the best teams against the best teams if you want to be in a Power Five conference. If you don't, screw off, but if you want to be Kentucky or you want to be a top team, you want to be Pitt, like you should be playing multiple Power
Well,
Five teams in the non-conference schedule or get rid of it."
the one counter argument to that though is if you're a team like, let's say, middle of the road in the Mountain West, let's say you're like Colorado State, for instance, right?
Smoked Creighton.
Smoked Creighton. You're more likely to be like, as a middle of the road team in the Mountain West, I want to play like a quad one team. I want to play like the good teams to try and beef up our resume, as opposed to fucking, I don't know, look at like even Houston. Look at like Houston's non-conference schedule and tell me the best team they played.
Yeah, but it's
It was,
bullshit.
I think it was Dayton, but no, that's right, because those teams know that they're going into a conference play where they all play high nets. So then you start trading bottom wins at home and home, and you can boost your resumes. That's how that works. And fortunately for the Mountain West, they were able to do it this year with six good teams. But generally, that does not happen in mid-majors.
Yeah, it's something's got to be addressed about it. But the one last storyline that I want to hit on this week is the Long Beach State coach. Zach, I know you have a lot to say about it, so I'll let you take that away.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think it's hilarious. You fire a coach, and then he's like, "All right, well, let me coach this one, out with my boys." They band together and play for him. They knock off UC Irvine, who would have been a sexy 13 pick. They beat UC Davis, who was second in the conference. I saw someone post that Long Beach State was good and dangerous because they had wins against a Big East and a Big Ten team. Those were Michigan and DePaul. So I don't really know how far that goes. But I mean, the other thing to consider is this was like a long time head coach. I'm not sure how long his tenure was, but I think it was close to
17 years, I think, and he's never
sure.
made the tournament.
Right. 17 years. And this was a first year athletic that came in and was like, all right, we're cleaning house. And then this is just like a big, like, it was a stick it to the man moment. I think it's very cool. I mean, I think he's still fired. I don't think we can go back on. But good for him. He'll get a job somewhere else and hopefully in the same conference.
Yeah, I recommend looking up his post-game interview. It was pretty cool. It was emotional, and I think he accepted that he's cooked. But I think it's like a cool experience for him to
Media
be there.
attention is enough to get a job, which is.
Totally. All right, yeah. I mean, crazy stuff happened, and along with the really cool stuff, a lot of idiots come into play. We had one of maybe the biggest idiots since J.R. Smith come into the picture this week. And the key for this segment is don't be dumb, otherwise we're going to call you out. So Matt, I want to hear your idiot of the week from Champ Week.
My idiot of the week, making his second appearance within the last 3 weeks, is none other than the Hall of Fame coach Tony Bennett, who is a fucking disgrace to the art of coaching. Forget Reese Beekman and Isaac McNealy missing five of their last six free throws, up six with less than a minute left. Virginia was up three with 6 seconds left and had three fouls to give and two timeouts. And not once did it cross this idiot's mind to tell his team, as soon as the guy crosses half court, we foul. You foul with 4 seconds left. Then you have two left to give. Then as soon as they inbound the ball, you foul again. There's 2 seconds left. Then as soon as they inbound the ball again, they might not even get a shot off. But for the 22nd year in a row, a Tony Bennett team does something stupid in March outside of his one fluke year. He went and beat Texas Tech. And now he finds himself somehow in the tournament where I hope he loses by 150. They are awful to watch. Awful.
Always foul late up three. It's been said once, it'll be said again, and this proved that it always works. All right, I shouldn't say always, but it's definitely the better play than not. You are bound to die in the worst way possible. Mike, what was your idiot of the week?
I take Kent State.
All you, man. Give some context to the people, though.
Okay, well, I can't say that I was really locked in on this game, but just the basis of it is Kent State hits a free throw. Did I have that right?
Put back.
Put back. Okay, sorry. They hit a put back. There is 6 seconds left. Something like the lowest amount of time that you could think of to go the full court. And the other team inbounds the ball, thinking that the game is already done. Oh, they're up one, by the way. Sorry. They're up one. This dude fouls the guy after taking one dribble at their own foul line, up one. So he sends the Akron guy to the line. He hits both free throws, and they go from being up one to being down one and losing. I think Stern had this last week in a similar situation. I don't know if the coaches need to like bring their team together and just sit everyone down and say like, "Hey, if it's the last minute of the game, you guys need to know what the score is." But I do not want to see this in the tournament because you feel bad for the guy. Like I think Zach and Tyler, you were also saying this. It like sucks to watch a guy do something that incredibly dumb and ruin his team's season. But then again, I mean,
He did it.
dumb is as dumb does, right? He did it.
It's great when it's a relevant mid-major game. It sucks when it's the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I feel for the kid, right? Because you put any of us in that situation, there's like. You put any single person on earth in that situation. You say right now, like, I'm gonna know the score. And almost every single person does. But that, like, 0.0001% chance where you're just have a complete brain fart and do it, like, it happens. So I felt bad for him at first. And I was like, that's just. You gotta feel bad for the kid. I then saw some video about him. About Kent State beating Akron 2 years ago. And he was cursing them out left and right on Snapchat afterwards.
Karma's a
And
fucking bitch, isn't it?
yeah, I mean, he was fucking railing into them like at like nobody's business. Like AB on Instagram Live probably. And I didn't feel bad for him anymore, because dude's just a scumbag. And you should go down as the idiot of the year for our segment here. Yeah. Zach, idiot of the week.
Welcome.
Yeah, my idiot of the week is Big Ten or Big East bubble fans and coaches. There was all this uproar after all of the bubble teams got knocked out of the tournament, which, like, if you're a bubble team, do better, win games in your tournament. Providence beat Marquette. St. John's beat UConn if you want to get in. There's this thing going around that Big East is second on campus behind the Big 12, and the Big 12 has, an absurd number of bids. I don't know what the number was right now, because we got left out would be eight, and the Big East got three. Now, these fans are using KenPom to say, look at us, we're the second best conference. And Seton Hall is 60 in KenPom, and Providence is 59 in KenPom. You're using the same metric to say, hey, we deserve more bids. And then if you look at the teams that are in that conference, it's saying, hey, you don't deserve these bids. You guys kind of suck. Seton Hall lost games to Rutgers and I believe Missouri. I'm not sure. They lost another bad non-conference game. Providence was 59th in the net in KenPom. They were not good late in the season. They had an injury, including the guy that went down. But they were bad after that injury. And the coaches are like buying into it, saying, oh, schedule cupcake, not conferences, whatever, whatever. But that's not the issue here. And the selection committee and most credible bracketologists had problems, not even in the, first four out. St. John's was not in the first four out. And I think if anyone had an argument to get in, it would have been St. John's, because their numbers are high. Seton Hall did have high strength of record numbers, but then you look at a team like Indiana State, which is 46 in KenPom, higher than Seton Hall and Providence, they're on the outside looking. Oklahoma, 37 in KenPom, outside looking. Colorado State, 36. Boise State, 34. First four in games. Colorado, 28. First four in game. Sorry, last four in game. And so these fans that are like thinking that the Big East got screwed somehow, or they needed to do something different in their non-conference, or that metrics are bullshit, or whatever this is. Like, relax. UConn, Creighton, and Marquette in every metric carry your conference and make it look better than this. You have the second best team in efficiency margin, UConn, 30.41. Creighton is 12th at 23.95. Sorry, 11th. And Marquette is 13th at 22.97. You're a conference with 11 teams, and you have three of the top 13 teams in the country in terms of efficiency margin. That's going to boost the shit out of your conference. You only have 11, so if you're taking the average, you're dividing it by less. Big East fans, Those bubble teams did not deserve to be anywhere in the tournament. Stop bitching and moaning about it. Win games.
Period. It's a good slogan, win games. You wonder who didn't win a game today? And one kid who might have the coolest name of all time, Chemo Ferrari. I mean, it's a pretty cool name. You go to Brown, and Brown had the biggest disaster class of all time, headlined by the idiot of the week in Chemo Ferrari. You are up six with 21 seconds left, and Yale has the ball. This kid, Yale drives to the lane, and he decides to try and take a charge. What are you doing? You get a blocking call. Yale makes the layup. It's an and one. He makes the free throw. It's a 3-point game. Your dumbass team misses their free throws. Yale comes back. It's a layup. You miss free throws again. Yale comes down and hits a buzzer beater. Why are you, and you lose by 1 point. That 1 point is now the reason Brown did not make their third ever March Madness appearance. Chemo Ferrari, stay out of the fucking lane. It's not that hard. There's no reason to foul. You are a smart kid. You go to Brown. It's a top college. Do not foul. Idiot of the week, Chemo Ferrari. Disgusting.
Yeah, that whole thing was a disaster. In the final minute, they let up, I think, two threes and an and one on three consecutive possessions. If they'd given him a two on every possession, they would have won that game by three.
Disaster. It was one. I was at the Rangers game and I had this on my phone. I missed a Rangers goal in shock by how bad Brown was. Sickening. Make the tournament. Be better. Don't deserve it. Zach, you touched on already. Does anyone of the first four out, or I guess first six out, does anyone have a snub that they thought should have made it over someone else? As we look at that first four where we're sitting with Boise State, Colorado State, and UVA. I think the committee kind of worked itself out with all the bubble stealers. Oklahoma, I think, shouldn't have made it in the first place. And if they didn't hit, Javion McCollum hit a buzzer beater against Oklahoma State earlier in the year. If he didn't hit that, this wouldn't even be a consideration. But Oklahoma's only team, like, yeah, you had really good wins on that resume. Is there any bubble team that people thought should have made it over the teams that did make it?
Yeah, I mean, I would just quickly say, Zach, you already talked about the Big East, but I would have put St. John's in there. Their schedule isn't that great, but they're 25, or sorry, they're 21 in Torvik, they're 25 in KenPom, and they're 40, 32, sorry, in the net. I mean, that's pretty good. And the whole Big East tournament thing, like, I get what you're saying, and I would agree in most cases, but UConn, I think, is a bit of an exception in that if you put pretty much any team up there against UConn, they get smacked. And St. John's ended up losing by what, 8 or 9, I think. And that was a closer game than it might have seemed by the box score. So, and also, I mean, you have Pitino, and St. John's has some quality players. If you want a team that can go head to head with anyone they might face in the tournament, I don't see why St. John's would not be in it over Scumbag Virginia or whatever other horrible teams ended up getting in.
Staring, give me that Pitino quote again, if you have it on hand.
I think going forward, for as long as college basketball is around, we should never use the word net again. It's fraudulent.
Yeah, Pitino doesn't want to cut down the nets, but I don't know. The net ranking at least does something right. Mike, I agree with your point. Can someone who's smart at math, I'm definitely not the person, but someone who's smart at math, can we just combine the 15 rankings so it's like an aggregate and it's like you bring a lot of math together and it works? Is that like a thing that could be done?
I mean, the committee considers every ranking. And just like this, I'll take 30 seconds to say this. One of the rankings is KPI. And the way that that works is every game, you get essentially scored on a scale from negative one to one, based on the opponent and how much you won by and where the game was. The good thing about KPI is if you win the game, you don't go down. Your rating is between 0 and 1. If you lose the game, you do. Your rating is between 0 and -1. Networks in obviously a different way. If you beat a team by less than you were supposed to, you can drop places. If you lose to a team by less than you were supposed to, you can gain places. So those two sort of counter out. I don't know how you could combine them, but like for example, BPI was bad for the Mountain West. They clearly got hammered on that. KPI was terrible for the Big East. They got hammered on that. So they take a lot of things into consideration. I don't know if you could combine them, but.
Yeah, I mean, the Mountain West, clearly they didn't love them as much as us, the committee, because you're taking two legit schools in Colorado State and Boise State, who Boise was the number two team in the Mountain West, and they're first four out, first last four in. I mean, that seems kind of crazy to me. And then the only team that I feel a little bad for, but there's nothing you can really do about it. You have to win your tournament as Indiana State. If the Bubble Stealers didn't happen, if we didn't have three, five in total, and only two, then yeah, they would be that last team in. But yeah, that's who I feel bad for. Do they deserve it? I can't say so. But yeah. All right. Speaking of moving on from the bubble, we have a bracket. So, let us discuss the bracket. We're going to go through every single game here. We're going to give some picks. We're going to give some Final Four picks. We're going to tell you what upset you should be taking. I'll preface, be a little humble. I guess I'm not very humble, but I had a 99.9 percentile bracket last year. 7 of my 8 Elite Eight picks on the money, except FAU. Heh, I'm probably not going to do it again, but maybe listen to me. I think I'm smart. So, let us start in the East. UConn Stetson. Anyone think Stetson wins?
No.
Okay. Clearly.
Blackman can score 40 on you guys, and UConn will win 85 to 40.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the redder question is the spread's 26 and a half is. What if, how much do you think UConn wins by? 50 or more? 50 or less?
I mean, probably
What's
less.
the spread?
26 and a half?
I think they cover. I don't think they win by 35.
Yeah, I agree. Next game's super interesting in this side of the bracket. FAU Northwestern. It's really a toss-up. FAU's look pretty shitty lately. Northwestern's been all right. I think personally FAU pulls it out. I'm curious what you guys think though.
It's a fraud off.
Really? Okay. And
I think that both these teams are going to give 40 minutes of hell just to fight for the right to lose by 30. So.
I think FAU stands a better chance against UConn than Northwestern, but I think Northwestern's better suited to win this matchup than.
FAU. If you go through FAU's season, I don't think they played like any easy games versus any like respectable teams. I think literally every game they played was tied or within 5 points within 5 minutes left.
Exactly, but it shows they can compete.
The one is
Yeah.
A&M. They beat A&M pretty good. I mean, it was only seven, but they were
But
wire on
like
that one.
look at this. The entire last month or so of the
Yeah.
season, 3 point loss, 6 point win, 12 point win versus Temple, 4 point loss, 9 point win, 4 point
Yeah, it's
loss.
not pretty, but they do.
Right. So if you have a very injured and depleted Northwestern team versus an FAU team that can't really beat anyone, it's a toss-up.
All right, so who's your pick?
I think Boo Boo is the best player on the floor, so I'll ride with the best player on the floor.
Right, Stern's got Northwestern. Mike, what do you have?
Northwestern.
Zach?
Yeah, I'm taking FAU. I think they got a big head. I think you saw it because they were good in their non-con. I mean, against good teams. They beat Arizona, they beat A&M. And then I think against bad teams, they weren't good. Because I think they maybe just had letdowns, and I don't think you can really have a letdown in the tournament. So I'll take the team that at their best can perform higher than Northwestern, who's a little bit banged up.
All right, I'm taking FAU. They've proven they could be there. Could I see them totally losing? Yeah. But they're tournament proven. They break that squad. They brought that squad back, and five better players rather than one good player. So I'm going FAU. How do you guys want to do this? Do you want to go through second weekend as we go through each section, or do we want to go through first round and then move on?
We could talk second weekend, but I don't think either stands a chance against UConn. So maybe
Yeah,
let's skip
I mean,
that.
I agree for that. UConn, send them through to the Sweet 16. All right, the 5 versus 12 in this bracket, Stern's least favorite team in the country in San Diego State, who made it to the national championship last year. I'll let you give a debrief on that and give your pick.
They lost half the team. It's like not even close to the same team that made the national championship game last year. So, yeah, I don't think they're very good. I think that they are better than UAB.
I mean, UAB was a 4 seed in the American. Didn't
Like
deserve much.
they're gonna beat UAB because they're better than UAB, but you put them up against Auburn, who is equally as physical defensively, equally or if not better than them, way better than them offensively. I don't think they stand a chance against Auburn. I think Auburn grinded their ass off all year in the SEC playing against the best and biggest dudes in the country. One dude, Jaden Ledea, is not going to scare Auburn. I don't think they have a chance against Auburn.
All right, I guess let's touch on. I guess, does everyone else agree San Diego State, or does anyone have UAB winning?
I agree, but I do think that UAB could win. I mean, they look great today. Granted, it was against the worst team ever in Temple, but they're not bad. They might be good.
They're not bad. I just can't see them. I can't see them pulling it off. But Mike, I'll let you go to the next one because you're the Ivy League darling, and the Ivy League put up a piss poor performance this weekend. So. Talk me through Auburn versus Yale.
Yeah, I would say the Ivy League put out a better product this year than I expected them to, or probably a lot of people did. With that being said, Auburn could win this game by 60 points without breaking a sweat.
I think Yale's physical. Like, at least when I saw them play today, they seemed physical and they manhandled Cornell, who's a good offensive team. I don't know if that physicality matches Auburn, though. Anyone, Zach, Matt, do you see an upset here, or can we put Auburn through?
Yeah, it's all there.
Put them through.
Right. So now we get to a really interesting game because you've got pure defense with one great player versus defense, fast-paced, gritty offense. San Diego State versus Auburn, a potential second weekend. I don't know. This is a toss-up, dude, but I would like to say Auburn, the way they performed this weekend. They're a top 10 in the metrics, but San Diego State's, in my opinion, damn good.
What are you talking about? Did you watch any of the games this entire the last month? Have you watched any of their games the last month?
Yes. And
They're dreadful.
yeah, it's just.
Guaranteed lock for 30% from the field and like 35% from three. That
Yeah,
ain't being Auburn.
but they lock up. And what team has Auburn played this year that plays great defense? Because the SEC is just piss poor defense.
How many did they beat Tennessee by? Auburn beat Tennessee by 1 second.
Is Tennessee that great on defense?
Zach.
Tennessee is a good defensive team.
But the only good defensive team outside of Auburn and the SEC? I don't know. Mike, who's your pick of this game?
Auburn's the only team that's top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency and their experience. I love Auburn.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about SEC defense is Dalton Knecht is the 23rd ranked SEC defender, and he's not a good defender. I think the defenses in that conference all year were pretty trash. I really like both of these teams, and if they weren't, against each other, I'd say both were second weekend teams. And I'm a San Diego State homer, but yeah, I would look into this a little bit more. Gut right now says Auburn.
All right, I might we'll put Auburn through in this bracket here, but San Diego State beat Alabama last year, and that Alabama team, different San Diego State team, but that Alabama team is way better than this Auburn team, in my opinion. And San Diego State can make some noise. Tremell's still there, put up 21. Lamont Butler led the team in assists. It's those guys. So we'll put Auburn through
Yeah,
for now.
one more thing that I would say is San Diego State did have better efficiency margin last year. So it obviously, like Esther said, it's not the same team. Those efficiency margins were boosted by the performance in the tournament. But offensively, 75th in the country last year, 62nd in the country this year. Defensively, fourth in the country last year, ninth in the country this year. So not tremendously different in terms of numbers from team.
Yeah. All right. Bottom half of the East bracket. BYU, Duquesne. All in on the Mormons. Give me the Mormons. Duquesne snuck through a Mickey Mouse A-10. They've got Drame from St. Peter's. He's their only tournament experience because Duquesne hasn't made it in decades. I'm taking BYU. Does anyone disagree? Stern. Mike, put Duke BYU through.
Yeah, I don't give a shit at all.
Thanks. Illinois Morehead State. Anyone see an
Put
upset with
Illinois
Morehead
through.
State?
Put Illinois through. Let's go. Morehead State is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to pick a three seed, because it typically happens, I think Illinois is everyone's high on right now after that performance today in the Big Ten tournament. I could totally see them just dying for no, absolutely no reason. But I'm not going to sit here and be an idiot and say I'm taking Morehead State. Because if they do, I think BYU waxes them.
You know who does want to see Morehead State? Who was excited for that matchup? It's Terrence Shannon. He's always looking for Morehead.
That
Yeah.
was a good one.
He will
All
fight to get
Come on, man.
it. Yeah, I mean, hey, he was acquitted, so let's be real.
I think it's active, but
Washington State, Drake. Give me Drake. Tucker DeVries,
yeah.
best player on the court. Pound it, pound it, pound it. Give me Drake.
This is one I would do a little bit more research on. I would like to see how Drake plays against, bigger, longer teams. Because Washington State has maybe the best size in the country. Right now, I would lean Drake.
Matt, Mike, anything?
I'll let Mike go first, and then I'll give my thoughts after watching Washington State the other night for kind of the first time.
Yeah, I actually love both these teams. Why not Drake? I don't know.
Why not Drake?
Game's essentially even, by the way. So.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun game. It's like a team, two teams that are flying a bit under the radar. I could make a little noise, but I'm good with Drake. Should we move Drake on? All right, let's do it. Last but
Yeah,
not
with
least,
asterisks on it.
yeah. Iowa State, South Dakota State. I watched South Dakota State play in some Horizon League or whatever, not Horizon League, Summit League tournament. They have a guy named William Kyle who dunked on five different people in the first half. Dunked on five different people.
Can you just clarify who these people are? Future car salesmen, accountants, or what are they?
Yeah, I mean,
Okay.
if
Okay.
that, they might be doing podcasts just like us, though. So.
Mike Thom is in the early. Shout out Mike Thom.
But Iowa State, let's just be real. Good.
Yeah, let's next region.
Why don't we get to the Sweet 16 here first? BYU, Illinois.
Illinois.
This. I like it. I like Illinois too. They score a little more than BYU. Zach?
I like BYU, but well, for time's sake, let's say Illinois.
All right. And Iowa State is my team that's absolutely rolling as hot as possible. Iowa State?
Drake.
What the hell did you just say?
Drake.
So you want Drake.
Yeah, fuck Iowa State.
I think it's more dangerous than they'll get the advertised, but I would say Iowa State.
All right, maybe we live a little on the edge here, and because I think do think Drake can make some noise. They have the best player on the court still. I don't know if they've seen a defense as good as Iowa State's ever. But why don't we put Drake through?
Well, I will say I think the danger, and this comes to like anyone who's building a bracket, the danger of this is looking at Drake and Iowa State in a one-off matchup. Looks great. Drake has a chance. Then you factor in that, you know, technically speaking, Drake only has a 50% chance of beating Washington State. They lose that game, you lose everything. So that's
That's a good point.
something I think, like when building brackets, for people who don't build brackets, look at the first round matchup. If you're not sure about it, you have to be really hesitant to move that team another.
Right, I'm back on Iowa State now after that. Let's run through the East real quick. UConn, Auburn. I don't think Auburn puts up much of a fight. UConn's the best team in the country. Does anyone disagree?
I disagree about the fight, but I would go to come.
Zach, Matt, Zach, Mike. Sorry, Matt, Mike. Lots of names here.
UConn moves on.
UConn.
Yeah. I mean, I love Auburn, but yeah, UConn's better.
Also,
And this region, by the way, has the Big 12 tournament champ, SEC tournament champ. Big Ten tournament champ and Big East tournament champ. So four
that's a
hot teams.
great point. Four hot teams rolling into a potential Sweet 16 in Boston. That would
Five
be
of the
awesome.
top 16 teams on KenPom are in this region.
Wow. That's a disaster
Lot of
class. Offense versus defense in a battle of Midwestern schools, Illinois, Iowa State. I don't really know who I would. I'm going to say Iowa State. I think they're hotter, and I think defense wins championships. Someone give me a pick.
I'm going to say Illinois.
Mike.
I'll go to Illinois too. They have three guys that can all score very well.
Zach.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you end up with chalk, just because I would go Iowa State because I think BYU has a really good chance to beat Illinois. But yeah, go Illinois for.
I do just want to throw out here, though, that this region could either like go like this, or I could see like Day-Day Grant going for 35 versus BYU and winning, or you know Eric Gaines goes for 30 versus it. Like there could be chaos here, but I think if you're playing the numbers on like the safe pick to really get your bracket right, I think you got to kind of go chalky here.
I mean, look, Tyler, it's like sorry to say it, there could be a Final Four, like San Diego State could play FAU at the Sweet 16 in this
Yeah,
region. I mean.
it's possible. But UConn, Illinois, I think UConn just does what Illinois does, just a little bit better. Does anyone disagree?
Nope.
All right. UConn is the straight shooter's first official Final Four pick. Moving on to the West bracket. And let's run through this one because this is just, I don't know what the hell is going on here. UNC. We're going to move on because I can't see Howard or Wagner with seven players or a 26-year-old point guard for Howard doing anything. The game that is a complete toss-up to me is Mississippi State, Michigan State. Zach, give me your debrief here.
Yeah, I'm giving Mississippi State. They're good. They're playing well. I think Michigan State is going to be exposed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State's better. I think they're more physical, but Michigan State. It's to March and it's Tom Izzo. So, are we really going to fade him?
Yes.
You keep saying that and they keep losing.
It's a good point. All right. Mississippi State, it is. Battle of MSU versus MSU. Now to a game that could go completely either way. Back to the mid-major master classes. St. Mary's, who was great versus Grand Canyon. Matt, give me your pick.
The only thing I'm going to say about Grand Canyon, hit 50 free throws last night. How
50.
often do you see 50 free throws in a college game?
Not a lot.
They made 37 out of 50. I'm going to go Grand Canyon here, and I'll tell you why. The team can fill it up. And I think that obviously St. Mary's is unbelievable defensively. I think they can score. I think they showed against Gonzaga. They can play whatever type of game you need to play in order to win. But in a one-off setting, Grant Foster, Ray Harrison, McLaughlin, each of them can fill it up. I'll take Grand Canyon for the upset here.
Mike, do you agree?
I don't have much of an opinion. I'm trying to think, has Grand Canyon actually beat anyone really good?
San Diego State.
Rise.
All right. Sure. Move on.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. Grand Canyon beat San Diego State by 6. San Diego State beat St. Mary's by 30. St. Mary's is going to win this game by 15.
I don't know how that math
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense. That's what's going to happen. You can
works
pull
out at
Grand Canyon,
all. I
but
agree.
I think St. Mary's kills them.
I agree with a Grand Canyon pick in this game, but I think St. Mary's can make the Elite Eight in this side of the bracket. But I do agree, one-off game, Grand Canyon, let's send it. I do not want to spend time on this game. I don't even want to watch it. College of Charleston versus Alabama. I don't care. I presume Bama's going to run through them because they just can and score more, but does anyone think College of Charleston wins?
I go down. Thanks, Bob.
All right. UNC, Mississippi State. Mississippi State put up a fight. They had a really good tournament week this week. I don't know.
No.
No.
UNC it is. I think, as Stern, you just qualify, Grand Canyon can fill up a box score and they play some defense on top of it. I'm sick of Bama. I don't want to watch them. They'll run through a Charleston team because I think they play very quickly, but I want Grand Canyon in my Sweet 16. I want the winner of the St. Mary's Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16. Does anyone think Bama has a shot here? Or Grand Canyon has a shot here?
Fuck off. Bama can fuck off.
This is the same exact region, like quad last year as San Diego State, Charleston, Furman, and Virginia, where I was, winner of Charleston, San Diego State is easily going to beat Virginia. Virginia lost the first game, San Diego State moved on. So I go Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon it is. UNC Grand Canyon. I think
UNC.
Grand Canyon might die here. But UNC it might be. All right. Bottom half of the West Coast bracket. Clemson, New Mexico in a fascinating game. I am all in on New Mexico here. They have Clemson brought in Joe Girard to be that guard with Harvey. They have some big men, but I think New Mexico is awesome. They're hot, they're rolling. I love New Mexico here. And I think people got to put Jamal Mashburn, Jalen House, and Donovan Dent as the best backcourt in the country. It's top five, at least for me. So, New Mexico, I love them. Does anyone think Clemson here?
So I have one thing I just want to add quickly here that I think is an interesting point. You're looking at sort of two teams with contrasting like positions of strength. New Mexico goes as their guards go. They go as House goes, they go as Mashburn goes. Clemson goes pretty much as PJ Hall goes. Chase Hunter can help a little bit, but if PJ Hall is going, Clemson goes.
Yeah, but I think I've never seen Joe Girard play defense a day in my life. He looks like Luka Doncic on the court on defense, who's
Relax. That's
awful.
my that's a Syri that's Syracuse's second or third all-time leader in made threes.
Yeah, number one asshole.
Shout
But
out to Trevor Cooney.
I don't know. I think Nelly Jr. Joseph and JT Toppin and Amsel are good enough bigs to play some defense there. And I think the New Mexico guard, I think the Mountain West is going on notice here. Because the committee slept on him, and I'm ready to fucking put him through. Zach, Mike, give me a quick pick.
New Mexico.
New
Two and a half on
Mexico.
the 2.5 on the papers.
Right. New Mexico it is. Now to our darlings, the Colgate Raiders. I don't think the question here is can Colgate win? I think the question is here is how much do they lose by? Does anyone disagree?
I think the question here is a quality of podcast, so we just put all the way through.
Put them all the way through.
No, I mean one game. It's time.
It's time.
Is it? Yeah. I don't think it's time. I think this is our.
Do you really think all 6, 360 pounds of John Cox is going to be able to guard Ray J. Dennis or Jaden Nunn or Jacoby Walter?
No, absolutely not. I think Baylor wins by 12. I think for this bracket, so
put him through. I agree. Put him through.
Baylor it is. Dayton, Nevada, another Midwest, mid-major masterclass. Dayton has been terrible as of late. They haven't played a good team since St. John's, right? In early on in the bracket. But give me picks quickly. I got Nevada.
It Dayton's look more and more like an average A-10 team, and we know they all suck.
All right, Nevada it is. Arizona, Long Beach State. Long Beach State's a good story, but Dan Munson, your coaching career ends here. I'm sorry to say. Nevada, Arizona. Anyone have a pick here?
Arizona.
I agree. This, again, I'm hot in New Mexico. I'm going to take him through.
Yeah, me too.
Especially if Colgate wins, but anyone think Baylor has a shot?
We can say New Mexico.
All right, I'll go New Mexico. And do we end with the chalk here in Arizona?
No, New Mexico. Absolutely not. Arizona can fuck off also.
Okay. I mean, Max Rice said it best. New Mexico's most talented team in the Mountain West.
All right, UNC New Mexico. Are we riding the hot hand here? Or is Baycott too much for a team that's outside of the pit?
New Mexico's got some size. They don't lose the D. They beat the D.
Nelly Jr. Joseph?
Yeah.
All right. New Mexico to the Final Four?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Straight shooters.
No.
Number.
What the fuck are we doing?
Clemson, Baylor, Arizona, North Carolina. Yeah, all right.
That's a tough fucking stretch.
We're going to reassess this pick.
We might need to reassess this pick.
No, we're not. Stop. No, we're not.
New Mexico it is. Let's
if
ride.
New Mexico makes it to the Final Four, Mike just said he'll get a tattoo of Jalen House on his leg.
Hell yeah.
I'll start talking like him too.
It's the most annoying voice in college basketball. All right, on to the South region. Houston, moving on. Another really interesting game of Nebraska-Texas A&M. Texas A&M is hot. Nebraska could have the most electric player in college basketball in Keisei Tominaga. Everyone remember that name. He is absolutely electric. I think the hot pick is going to be Texas A&M because they're rolling in. I've taken Nebraska here. Mike, give me your pick.
Nebraska, love them.
Stern?
Nebraska. Houston by 20 in the next one.
Houston by 20 over Nebraska. I completely concur. Wisconsin, James Madison. I love James Madison. Wisconsin played a very good game today. Max Kuzmic's real, but James Madison, I love him.
JMU in the upset.
Anyone have a chance on Wisco?
Go JMU for now. I'm gonna take Wisco. They just beat Purdue. Like, I'm gonna take Wisco, but for now, keep
going. You see the line though in that game?
What is it?
I think it's 4, 3, something like that.
Larger than I would have thought.
All right, Duke, Vermont. Is Vermont getting the upset?
Duke, bad year for Vermont. They're not as good as Duke.
I agree. Vermont has one player, Shamir Pogues, something like that. He's awesome defender, but Duke's got too much talent.
He would have died in irrelevancy at Tarleton State had he not transferred.
Yeah. Duke, James Madison. I'm still very high on the Blue Devils, but people might disagree.
Well, Duke would beat JMU. I don't know if they would beat Wisco, though. That's a tough game.
I completely agree, Mike.
I agree, too.
Like, can we just send through Duke just for fun?
Yeah.
Send through for
now. All right. Duke versus Houston.
Houston. Next.
Wagon. Houston.
Wagon.
All right. Texas Tech, NC State. Mike, give me your pick.
NC State.
All right. I like NC State too. I think they're rolling in hot. Zach, give me your Kentucky Oakland pick. Kentucky.
I'm Trey Townsend, but Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm putting Oakland on notice, but Kentucky. Florida, first the winner of Boise, Colorado. I'm always a big fan of not taking a pick until the first four is complete.
I think Colorado could easily beat Florida.
I think Colorado is a Final Four team. I think they're similar
to that. That's an egregious take.
I think they're similar to that UCLA team. They have three first-round picks on that team.
That UCLA team is full of veterans that knew how to win in March.
Sure.
I would say don't touch it. Colorado just lost to Oregon. I would leave this game for now because Boise State beat Colorado. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave it for now. I'm taking Marquette, and I don't think any of those teams above. I think if Florida wins, they can beat Marquette. If the others, I think I'm going Marquette all the way through. Kentucky, NC State.
NC State's road comes to an end.
Kentucky, Marquette. It's a really good game.
Kentucky.
Really?
If Kolek's back, that's Marquette 100%, I think.
He would not be 100% when he gets back. There's no way.
No, Marquette 100% if he plays.
No, but even if he plays, I don't think he's 100%. I don't think there's any way he would be 100%.
That's another 2 weeks and that game would take place.
Yeah. I'm high on Marquette. I think Kentucky's young. It's chalky, but I like Marquette. And Marquette Houston, I think Houston is so good. I think they're a wagon. And does anyone disagree?
Kolex healthy, I'd take Marquette to win that game.
I think I would. I think he's biased, but then like.
Yeah, I mean, Marquette looked good in the Big East tournament, but.
Let's move on, but I think the 7-10 game, one of those teams can make a run.
I agree. That 7-10 game versus Florida-Colorado would be fascinating to me.
All right, don't lock your brackets until after the first one.
Yep.
Let's cook here. Let's move through this.
Purdue, I love. Yes. Utah State. I think TCU is a bunch of frauds.
Utah State, absolutely.
All right. Gonzaga-McNeese is a fascinating game.
Gonzaga has 3 points in their bracket for anyone who takes
them. I think EK is too much for McNeese. I think it's a 91-84 final.
That would be an awesome game. Don't sleep on McNeese. I'm telling you all, Will Wade's going to have these boys ready to go. But, yeah, Gonzaga's got the talent, and they're going to rip it. Kansas-Samford. Another potential upset.
Samford.
Yeah, I think Kansas looks like the team that could win, but Samford might put them out of their misery. Buckyball it is.
I don't buy that they're healthy. Buckyball.
I would go McNeese, Kansas, just for the record, but okay.
All right. If you like Mike's picks, go with that. Purdue, Utah State. I think Purdue's the clear choice. Does anyone disagree?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I think this is high alert. If Utah State gets there, I'm going to take Purdue just because TCU scares me a little bit. But I think high alert for Purdue if they get to this point.
Yeah.
I think so. I do think so.
It's tough.
Click Purdue. Let's move on.
Yeah, click Purdue. But
I'm putting Purdue for now. But yeah, Grado Sabor is second best player on the court. Gonzaga, Samford. Gonzaga, I really, really like. They're rolling in hot. They play really good basketball. I don't know. Does anyone disagree? Does anyone like Samford here?
No. Gonzaga.
All right.
I would take Gonzaga here.
I would take Gonzaga over Purdue as well. I think Purdue is looking for that Final Four bid, but the pressure is all on them.
They played earlier in the year, and Gonzaga was so hot in the first half and then kind of just forgot how to play basketball in the second half, but they were not the same team then. In their new starting lineup, I believe I read, since they all came together, where they added Greg and I believe it's Huff, to the starting lineup is like the second or third best 5-man unit in the country since they added. Yeah.
That's a good stat. I mean, it's a tough situation because I don't know how you're not taking Edie here. But
EK can hold his own.
I like the pick in Gonzaga.
The new starting lineup is Nembhard, Hickman, Watson, EK, Gregg. So they subbed out Dusty Stromer and they put in Ben Gregg, and that has made all the difference in the entire world.
Yeah, Ben Gregg's a good talent. All right, moving on to the bottom half of our last region here, South Carolina, Oregon. It is a battle of, I think, who's more fraudulent. Oregon's rolling in hot, but I like South Carolina. Let's take a vote. Mike?
South Carolina.
Stern?
I agree.
Zach?
Yeah.
South Carolina it is. Can Akron possibly beat Creighton?
They're
going to
test them. They're going to test them. But I don't think they can win, but it'll be a test.
All right. Texas versus UVA Colorado State.
Texas.
I said it
oh
before.
My God.
I'm sending Texas through this region.
The over-under in Texas versus either of those teams will be in the 120s, the low 120s.
Probably.
I think Colorado State would beat Texas.
That's if they beat UVA, though. And that's
Colorado State couldn't make a layup versus New Mexico the other night.
New Mexico is good. We got them in our Final Four, don't we?
Texas, right. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
If you like.
Connect.
Oh, man. I'm putting Texas through this region. I'm just letting you know. I don't care if they play Purdue. I don't care if they play Gonzaga. I'm putting Texas through. You heard it here first. Whether you like it or not. But for the masses pick, I'll put Tennessee. South Carolina, Creighton. Zach, give me your pick.
They're good.
I agree. And Tennessee, Creighton. Matt, give me yours.
Creighton.
Currently looking at Creighton's schedule right now as I'm on Twitter beefing with other Big East fans about whether.
Hey, follows at Zach SS Pod on Twitter for all of his outrageous takes and some locks of the days. Mike, give me your. I guess we're going with Gonzaga Creighton here. Give me your pick here.
What?
Give me your pick for Gonzaga Creighton for the Final Four.
Do I have to?
I know you hate both these teams.
Against his will.
I would say, fuck. I guess Creighton.
But bomb the court if you had a choice.
Yeah, I was trying not to make a terrorism joke. But
Creighton it is. Let us run through our Final Four of UConn, New Mexico, Houston, and Creighton, which is just outrageous. I think no matter what, I don't think New Mexico and Creighton is really making it personally, but I would go UConn, Houston, Texas, and Arizona as my Final Four picks. Zach, give me your Final Four picks.
UConn, Houston, Gonzaga, and Arizona.
Matt, give me yours.
I hate Arizona. I don't know about the West.
I would say UConn, Marquette. Fuck it. North Carolina. And Gonzaga.
Mike, your Final Four.
UConn, Baylor, Marquette, Tennessee.
Interesting. I don't hate it. And now give me your national champions. I'm taking UConn. They're the best team in the country. Zach, national champion.
UConn.
Matt.
Connecticut.
Mike.
Dude, I'm not answering. I mean, like, yeah, UConn, but that sucks.
I know. Mike, all right, should we do the next team that can win it? One each, fire it off. If UConn's not going to win it, who's going to win it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm going to say it. I've said it before. It's Texas. Texas, 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 Texas. They've got the talent. They've got the depth. They are so slept on right now, they can make a run. Texas. Zach, go.
Yeah, I think a serious team to look out for. The weakest region is St. Mary's.
All right. Matt?
Brutal question. I would say if I had to pick a team that isn't not going to be a whole lot, Purdue. I think obviously they kind of stink, but I think that like if the guards shoot well, Edie's good for 25 and 10, they could find themselves in the national championship game in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, give me your sleeper. That's not sleeper, but non-UConn pick.
Baylor. I think Baylor's really good.
Unless Colgate beats him.
Sure.
All right. That is the straight shooters bracket. We got some fan mail this week. I'm going to throw this question over to Shoot Your Shot, Mike. Give me your top three prospects that you are looking out for in March Madness. Shout out to Xander for throwing in this question.
Yeah. Shout out Xander for the question. Love it. So they have to be in March Madness. I would go Rob Dillingham is incredible.
Kentucky guard.
Kentucky guard. Jacoby Walter on Baylor. They have him like at the end, the high end of the top 10 right now in mock drafts. If he's a good tournament, he could be sneaking in the top five for sure. And then give me Dalton Knecht. Old as hell, but probably the best player in the tournament, I think.
I like those picks. I would also throw Jared McCain into the pot. Just
yeah, from Duke. Reed Shepard too, I think.
Yeah. All right, I like those picks. I think we had one other question from our fans, though.
Yes, this one comes from Jack Kofed again. Great guy, great listener. All right, so the question was originally, was NC State fairly seeded? And then, like, further on that, I'll read Kofed's language. Should dogshit teams that win Power 5 conferences become first four teams because they suck? Or should they automatically get seeded better because they won better conferences?
Thoughts?
I think looking at the other 11 seeds, North Carolina State was fairly seeded. I don't think you can take a 12 seed and arguably JMU. Actually, definitely JMU. You could have put 11 and NC State down to a 12, but I think Oregon would have been the first switch. I think New Mexico State was ridiculous to see it to be on the same line as NC State and Oregon.
I mean, I guess my two cents would be the prize for winning your conference tournament is that you get into the tournament no matter what. And beyond that, if you're NC State and you were bad for most of the year and now you're hot, then you got to continue to be hot against higher seeded teams. So, yeah, no, I'm fine. And also, like, they got Texas Tech as a six seed, who I think are not very good at all. So it doesn't matter that much at the end of the day.
I'll also add quickly the 16 seeds that win their tournament and get to play in. It's a known thing that they like those games. They like the chance to have two nationally televised games, get some money to the school, get some money to the conferences. So those teams like it. I think as a power conference, you wouldn't.
Do they get money if they win the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's.
And then you also get the team. I don't know if it's from winning the game, but it's from appearing in another game.
Yeah, you get a win saying your school won a March Madness game. I agree. It's just. It's not really a March Madness game. It's just. But speaking of those first four games, I want to close this episode out and our premier March Madness episode with the first four that's happening Tuesday and Wednesday night in Dayton. We've got four games going on. That means we have four spreads and four over-unders. I want a pick from each person. We've got Colorado State minus 1.5 against Virginia, Howard minus 2.5 against Wagner on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we have Colorado minus 2.5 against Boise and Montana State minus 4.5 against Grambling. Mike, give me your lock of the first four.
Sorry, I want to look at the spreads. Can someone else go?
Yeah, for me, it's Howard minus 2.5. Wagner has seven healthy players. I repeat, that is seven healthy players. That's one more than IUPUI had at one point when they never won a game. You cannot win a March Madness game against another top team with seven players. Howard has a 26-year-old point guard. Now again, I will repeat that, a 26-year-old point guard in Seth Towns. I will be taking Howard minus 2.5 Tuesday night. Zach, give me your pick.
Yeah, hold your nose pick under 150.5 in Colorado and Boise State. First 4 games are ugly. Both teams don't play particularly fast. Yeah, under
That is
150.
a. Yeah, I don't mind it. Mike, give me yours.
Yeah, Colorado State. Fuck Virginia.
Preach,
Love it.
preach, preach, preach,
Except
and round.
Virginia and Michigan State will both play 3 games in turn.
And
Which.
round us out, Matt Stern, with your Monday lock.
I think Colorado should beat Boise State in advance, huh?
They've got the talent. Let's see what Boise's made of. This has been a super fun episode. We've got an official bracket here. I hope everyone has a great week. I hope you have all your bracket madness. I hope you take work off Thursday, take work off Friday, enjoy the games this weekend. And then you only have to take off one day of work on Thursday next week because you've got Good Friday and two more games of basketball rolling into the Final Four. It is March. It is awesome. It is fun. Have a great week. Enjoy it. And we'll be back next weekend with the Sweet 16 team and a recap of the first weekend. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you all later. Much love.